Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and CEO at Wealth Management Group. Welcome back, Craig.
Hey, John. Good to be with you. Busy Friday. Newsworthy as always.
What are you thinking about? What's jumping out at you there?
Well, I'm thinking we got two problems that have gotten a little bit worse, and those problems being the inflation data. Well, it looks like the decline that was at a crawl's pace has now come, and it's fully stalled. And if the inflation data has stalled out and can't get lower, those rate cuts that you and I have been talking about, what's the over-under, John? 2.5? For
yep.
months we've been talking. Well, all of a sudden, the probabilities have been dramatically reduced, and it's got investors a little bit nervous. But the truth is, I think the situation has not turned bad. I think the situation's no longer perfect, and this is where good investors are going to stand out from bad, as good investors are going to make solid choices in the remaining months of the year.
What are those choices?
Well, for me, it starts with this. You know, what I'm visiting with clients on is I begin by saying the key reasons for the rally that started last October, they're not gone. I mean, let's look at them really quick and then give some people some investment ideas. I mean, number one, John, we still have solid growth. I mean, look at the economic data this week, from retail sales to Philly Fed to jobless claims. I haven't seen any economic data that's flashing major economic warning signs. And then I think about the looming Fed rate cuts. Again, we've got some mixed data now relative to the timing of the cuts, but I think it still seems very reasonable. The next move is to lower rates. It's not to raise rates. And then finally, the AI enthusiasm. Sure, NVIDIA is off its high and ASML threw some cold water on its face this week, but the AI enthusiasm and, more importantly, the adoption, it remains marginally intact. So you know what? This is just more of a moderation. It's not a reversal.
Are there some types of companies you think will better weather this current downturn than others?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that have remained. You know, we've talked before about whether small caps were finally ready to join large caps in the rally. And clearly, by the evidence that we've seen, small caps aren't going to be the place to be. The S&P 600 and the Russell 2000, the small cap indices, they've reversed hard based on this inflation data and the lack of Fed rate cuts that we've seen. So I think if people stay with what you and I have called before, great companies of America that tend to pay rising dividends, that's where people want to stay focused. And of course, that means places like technology still, healthcare, and let's not forget energy, especially with what's going on in the world today.
And bigger companies have the cash on hand or the resources to weather higher interest rates? Is that kind of what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. I mean, you know, a good company that has plenty of free cash flow isn't going to have the leverage that smaller companies have. And therefore, when interest rates move up, you tend to see large companies perform better because they're not contributing as much of their profit towards their interest payments. And that just can't be said, because borrowing money is a necessary evil for small to medium-sized companies to fund their expansions.
So inflation stays stubborn. The Fed, therefore, won't lower interest rates. Therefore, the borrowing costs stay relatively high, or at least they're not going lower. 30-year fixed mortgage rates up again. I'm just sussing out in my head, maybe out loud here, what are the consequences of this? What happens now because inflation is staying stubborn? For instance, what happens to markets as well? What happens to my retirement savings?
Well, I don't think we're having a recipe where all of a sudden, you know, for some reason, John, everyone's gotten as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs over the last 2 weeks. That's my analogy. And let's put it into action. We've had a very good run. That's undeniable for everyone's 401k. But again, based on the facts, not the suspicions, the only thing that's changed is that the actual events they haven't lived up to maybe unrealistic expectations. The pullback has just started the process. The pullback, meaning the S&P being 5% off its high, it's just started the process of resetting expectations to something that I think is more realistic. So I view this level, this 5,000 level, plus or minus, that we're at right now, I view it as an opportunity for those who may have been on recession island for the last year and a half to start nibbling and getting involved in equities. But I don't think anything or anyone should panic, because I think the script is still intact because the data hasn't changed. The data is just not being viewed through rose-colored glasses anymore.
Craig Bolanos joins us to talk a little bit about the markets and your money. By the way, Craig, you like the idea of maybe nibbling at equities right now. But I think people are very interested in I-bonds and T-bills because 4 and 5% sounds pretty good to people.
I think 4 and 5% is not a terrible thing. And shout out to those Series I savings bonds that you and I talked about what seems forever ago. John, remember when they were paying 9.62%? That was glorious,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was. You know, now remember, those same bonds bought back then are only paying 3 point something because they didn't have a fixed coupon. But you're right. New Series I bonds paying over 5%. Treasury bills paying over 5%. I think that's competing for stock market money right now. So ultimately, this is really all about interest rates when it comes down to equity investors, isn't it?
But depending on your horizon, you think this is a buying opportunity right now, right?
Oh, I still think if someone is looking for a way to create wealth, you know, in America, you either need to own a business, you need to be invested and become a real estate mogul, or you need to invest in stocks. There just hasn't been a better way to compound and grow wealth than those three items. And I think with everybody having access to a 401k, people having access to 529 college savings plans, if you've got a longer time horizon, aka more than 3 to 5 years, I think people can and should be investing because it has proven time and time again to be a recipe for long-term success.
Yeah, but you know, people writing those checks or every month having an automatic deposit into some mutual fund that they picked when they started their job, and each month now, well, you're right, we've had a nice run, but now the last few weeks, it's been going down, 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 down. And you think, am I a fool for continuing to put money in this sinking ship? Talk to that person, Craig.
You know, I think history is going to have to be our guide, because the truth is, history is the only guide we ever have. And John, I think about those investors that maybe first got started investing when the Dow crossed over 10,000. John, do you remember when the Dow crossed over 10,000?
I do.
I remember having the Dow 10,000 half. And we all know that soon thereafter, disaster struck in 2000, 2001, 2002. And then there's all the investors that first started investing in 07. And then we know what happened in 08, 09. But I look back at Dow 10,000. Where's the Dow today? It's at 38,000. I look back when people were investing at Dow 14,000. Where is it today? It's at Dow 38,000. So let's let history be our guide, that even if you're investing before a major trend reverses, and I don't think one is reversing, if time is on your side, you will be rewarded, because great companies of America continue to grow profits. And if you can't make the next Microsoft out of your garage, best you own some of that company, just as an example, longer term.
Talk to me a little bit about Netflix right now.
So Netflix, hey, this is another example of traders buying the rumor that there was going to be good earnings on both the top and the bottom, and then they sell the news. So Netflix, you know, has had a nice run since the beginning of the year. They beat on their earnings, but you know what people didn't like, John? They didn't like that Netflix told us, hey, starting in 2025, we're no longer going to report new subscribers. Well, That's something that we're used to. I mean, for Netflix, we're always used to looking at how many new subscribers they have. So the fact that they're going to stop telling us about that is a little bit disappointing. And I think that just means this is a company that's moving more into their maturity stage, where it's not just about market share, new subscribers. It's now about what's going to be their profitability, their revenue. So it's an interesting change. But the market's disappointed, and hence the stock's getting hammered while we talk.
Any other companies of note in that area?
Well, I think everything in tech is so incredibly interesting to talk, but I think what about all the companies that are in the Dow that don't get any fanfare? I mean, look at the results from companies like American Express today. Look at the rally you see in Travelers. Look at the very large bank, JP Morgan. It hasn't disappointed. Those are not solicitations for anyone to go and buy those stocks. But my point for investors is we should be looking not just at growth in technology, the Magnificent Seven. We should be looking in other areas of the market to diversify. Because if someone wants to get retired and stay retired, John, I think retirement's all about cash flow. And there's no better way to cash flow than to invest in great companies of America that increase their dividend every single year. And that's just going to lead you into other areas of the market besides technology.
Yeah, right. And you mentioned those a moment ago. What was it? Healthcare, banking. Can you just give me those headlines again?
I mentioned healthcare has been on a nice tear courtesy of all the GLP-1s and the drugs that are out there. I mentioned the mega banks, not the regionals. There's problems in there that everybody knows about for real estate. And don't forget about energy. You and I talked about energy a month ago, John. And what we talked about is we've entered the season for oil prices in April. In addition to that, energy is so underrepresented in the S&P 500. That means the stocks are cheap. Energy companies tend to pay great dividends, and I don't want to trivialize what happened last weekend with Iran and Israel. I cannot trivialize what happened last night, but it looks like we're going to continue to see some upward pressure on oil, and I think that gives people the opportunity to say, you know what, it's not too late. I probably ought to go and start looking at some great energy stocks, because odds are they're underrepresented for most investors.
Craig Bolanos is the CEO and founding partner with Wealth Management Group. He's in Inverness in Downers Grove. He specializes in spending, savings, investing, and impacts things that impact your chances of always having the money you need to have the life you want. You can call him at 833-WMG-PLAN. Nice to talk to you, Craig.
John, great to be back. Enjoy the weekend.